Blog Talk Radio.
If I could count the tears that have fallen, it would seem like a big ocean to me. Yeah, and I guess if my heart were a window that every one of you could stand and look through, oh, the pain and scars you would see. But tears will never stay the streets of that sea.
Question the loss of a loved one, 'cause the grave seems so final and cold. But we'll meet again where death has no victory, in a land where we'll never grow.
Direct
happen is, I don't know what's going on, folks, but I am definitely called in, and it's not letting me get in for some reason. Try it again. Let's see. 4, 2, 5, 2, 9, 2, 4, 4. I don't know what's going on, people. This is my third time in a row not being able to get on the air. I just don't understand what's happening. I guess the powers that be don't want me on the air. Can't believe my cell phone can't even get into. That is just some ridiculous. Your cell phone can't get in. Never had that problem before. Can't even get on my Google page so I can use the Google telephone. This is just damn ridiculous. Damn, these people can't get connected to nothing. Hello, is anybody hear me this morning? If you can hear me, please hit 1 on your phone and pound so I can bring you in so I can see if somebody can hear me. Because I'm not showing that I'm live or anything. Please, I got 787-0594. Could you hit 1 and pound so I can bring you in and see if I'm even connected or not? I would appreciate it if you would do that, please. Anyway, it looks like I'm up on the board, so we're going to start the show, and I apologize for having the late deal, but something's gone with my computer or with Skype or something. I couldn't even get in to the show through Skype, so I had to use my telephone to call in, and I've never had to do that before. So maybe it'll all work out. I don't know, but I hope y'all can hear me. And I apologize for last week. I was tied up and I couldn't do the radio show. So the week before, I think, was a bad weekend too. And the week before that, I wasn't on the air. So maybe everything will find out and I can get back. I'm back home in Texas and I get everything hooked up and working right. Maybe it'll all work out and I start having my Monday night classes again and make this radio thing work. Caller that has called in, and I'm sorry about the delay. And I want to remind everybody again, the ones that have called in, the ones that are listening, that I will be giving classes on Monday night. Go to my website, keithdavefree.net, not .com, but .net. And make your little gift for the Monday night class, and I'll send you out the invitation to the class. And I know there have been a couple people paid, and I wasn't giving classes because I was traveling. I couldn't do a class while I was traveling. So because you've already paid, you will get in without no problem. Anyway, folks, I'd like to start out here and read a little something here called exchange equity to value and no equal value given. After reviewing the file of our records, it was discovered that there has never been a fair and equitable consideration of value in this matter. You are commanded to supply and indicate what the value was on behalf of your client and yourself. As the law requires that all equal value and or equal consideration be given. appears that you are acting as a creditor when you have never been the creditor in this matter. See, folks, that's what everybody thinks when they get stuff in the mail. They assume they're getting something from a creditor. Those people are not the creditor. You are the creditor, and they are the debtor. But they got it all flipped around where they're making you think that you're the debtor and they are the creditor. It is absolutely bogus crap. You are the creditor of everything, and they are the debtors. And you have to understand this, folks. They want to make you think that they're the creditor. They are not the creditor. They didn't give you no kind of credit at all. They gave you something of value or some consideration. You gave the value when you gave your signature on the piece of paper, the contract, or whatever it was that you signed. That was you, the creditor, giving up your signature. You gave value to it. It didn't have no value until you put your signature on it. You are the creditor. So, we have, when you have never been the creditor in this matter, and referencing to this account, in relation to the account, you are hereby commanded to provide proof of your creditor status. And that the creditor-debtor relationship exists, whereby you are the creditor and the administrator is the debtor. Such agreement must be an agreement that is signed and noted by two signatures affixed thereto, whereby the administrator agrees to stand in as the debtor, and you agree to stand in as the creditor. It's all about the UCC, folks. If you go in the UCC and you read about creditors and debtors, you'll find out that you are the creditor. You are not the debtor. And you need to understand this, folks. You need to understand that you provide your signature, which makes you the creditor in everything. Somebody, when you go, say you went down to the bank and you want to do a signature loan and you want to borrow $1,000. Did the bank actually bring $1,000 of cash money and put it on the table and give it to you? Or did they debit or did it your account and say they transferred $1,000 into your account? They need your signature in order to do that. But they did not bring any money and put it in your hand. They debited your account with digits and numbers. That's all it is. It's a number game. It's all fiction. The whole thing is fiction. But they can't operate without your signature, folks. They got to have your signature on everything. Without your signature, they got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I don't know how many of you out there listen to Brother Sharif. He's got a program called Thor Ministry, and he's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe, for 2 or 3 hours each day. And he brings really some good information. He's all about the debt collection and the Consumer Act law and the Fair Debt Collection law. And he was talking on one of his programs. He had, a minister on there or somebody was talking about the two animals that God associates with in the Bible is the eagle and the lion. And what he was talking about is the lion in the jungle, and we are in a jungle, folks. This is our jungle. This is my jungle where I'm at on my little two lots that I have. They belong to me. I'm the king. I am the lion of my jungle. And when anybody comes on my property and they don't come with my permission, then as a lion, I'm to attack them. You look at this man was saying, I don't know what his name was, but I wish I got a clip so I could play it. It's so fantastic. He's talking about the lion is not the smartest animal in the jungle. He's not the fastest animal in the jungle. He's not the biggest animal in the jungle. He's just a lion. But what makes him so ferocious and what makes all the other animals scared of him, even the elephant, the hippopotamus, animals that can run 10 times faster than the lion, all these animals are scared of the lion when they hear his roar. But why are they scared of the lion? Because when they look at the lion, they see the lion, and the lion looks at them, and the lion's thinking in his mind when he roars and opens his mouth, and he's looking at something out there three times, four times big as he is. The lion is looking at lunch, and the other animals are looking at the lion and say, "Ooh, he's going to eat me, he's going to eat me," and they all take off running. You've got to get that lion mentality. You got to look at things differently. You got to look at, I am the king of the jungle, and I'm going to get me some, and I'm going to have lunch. All these corporations out there, they're trying to be the king, and they want to make you out as the rat that they're going to eat. But you got to turn it around, man. You got to act like you are the king of the jungle and be the king of the jungle, and you got to attack, attack, attack. Attack. You got a lion and he's got 1,000 sheep and he's going up against a army who's got one sheep and got 1,000 lions. And the lion with 1,000 sheep is going to conquer the other army because the lion is in charge. But the sheep, when he looks at the lion, and he's got 1,000 lions behind him, and all these lions are looking at their commander, the one in charge, but the sheep is scared of the lion, so the lion with his herd of sheep is going to the herd of lions. It's all in who's in charge. Who's in charge, folks? Are you in charge, or is the government in charge? God created you, kings and queens. He created you with a mind to think for yourself. And the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that is so true. We perish on a daily basis because we don't understand what's going on. And we're too dumbed down and stupid, or not stupid, but lazy, to get out there and do a little studying and figure out what's going on for ourselves. We're too busy watching TV. We're too busy watching the boob tube, watching the sports game, watching all this Housewives and so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. It's nothing but garbage on that TV, folks. Your mind off of studying and figuring out what's going on where you can learn something and help you in your daily life. But you can't do it sitting there watching TV 24 hours a day. There's nothing on the TV, including Fox News, there is absolutely nothing on there worth watching. 90% of people in the world today got cell phones. And if you got a smartphone, you can get the news, you can get the weather, you can get everything you need on your telephone. You do not need a TV, folks. A TV, you need to get rid of that thing, get it out of your house and give it away or sell it or do something with it. A friend of mine called me this morning, and he works on trailers, and I called him out to do some work on my trailer. He called me up, "Well, I'm going to be a little late. I can't be there." I said, "What's the problem?" Said, "Oh, I'm waiting for the cable man to come, because my TV went out last night, and I got to get my TV fixed." I mean, come on. Turn down business for 2 or 3 hours. Well, you can sit there and wait on somebody to come out and fix your stupid TV, because you can't do without your television set. When you get home, you got to plop down in the easy chair and grab a beer and sit there and watch TV all night. There are too many other things to do. Go get on your computer. type in the state statutes, pull them up and start reading them, figure out what's going on in the world, start understanding what's happening to you, start understanding that everything the court does in the so-called courts, the court is a bank, and the judge is the banker, money to pay the debt for the county or the city or the parish or whatever it is that the judge is sitting up there for. He is trying to collect money to operate, keep the county afloat. The county has maintainers that they need to buy and keep maintained. They have to have diesel fuel to operate it. I drove a truck for years. I know how much diesel it takes to operate a diesel tractor. So for those maintainers, they may have 8 or 10 of them in the county. And they got to pay a driver. They got to maintain the tires on it. They got to put fuel and oil in it. Where do you think they get the money to operate this equipment, folks? They send police out there to write traffic tickets, and they county going. They fix the bridges. They maintain the roads. They do all this stuff. How do you think they pay for all this squad cars that all these police ride around and all this equipment they got in them squad cars? Is from writing tickets, folks. They got to bring in revenue. They can't keep the county going without the revenue. Where do they get the revenue? They don't have no income. The only income they got is from civilians driving around. Why do you think they pass so many laws about automobiles? Because the more laws they pass about, the more statutes, not laws, more statutes that they provide for regulations on laws, the more tickets they can write. Just like they come along and they pass a statute. Oh, you can't collect rainwater off your house because the water belongs to the government. We're going to fine you $2,000 if you collect rainwater. I never heard of no such crap in my life. And if you're dumb enough to say that, tell you that, you need to have your butt kicked. That's all I can say. But what I'm trying to tell you folks is these counties operate off of traffic tickets. This little old town is not really that little, but it's not really that big either. It's called Livingston, Texas. It's 18 miles north of where I live. That's the town that I shop in and do my business in. But do you know that the city of Livingston, now I haven't checked it in a couple of years, but a couple, 3 years ago, the city of Livingston, just a little old town, took in over $2 million, $2 million in traffic tickets. The city of Livingston, Texas. Can you imagine how much money that is? You and I, we work all, we can't even make an average of $40,000 a year, and the city took in $2 million in traffic tickets. Come on, folks, quit paying these people. If you go into the UCC and you study it and you learn a little bit about it, you don't have to pay a traffic ticket. All you got to do is send them an abatement letter and get rid of this stupid thing. And they're not going to come after you, and they're not going to answer your abatement letter because they have to answer it point for point, word for word in writing, and they are never going to do it. So because they don't do it, and you put the word across the top of that thing, affidavit in support of abatement, they must respond to an affidavit. If they fail to respond, it stands as truth and law after 30 days. Every single solitary traffic ticket you get, somewhere on that traffic ticket is going to have the word affidavit on it. The reason the word affidavit on there is because after 30 days, if you don't respond, it stands as truth of law. That's how they come after you with a warrant. It's your warrant for you and have you arrested because you failed to take care of the ticket. So I'm telling you, folks, you need to understand what's going on. You need to understand how to take care of this stuff. These courts are so corrupt. Every single court is corrupt. I sit and I watch the judge, not the way he calls himself a judge, a magistrate, sit there and bring all these people in front of him. And every single solitary person he brought in front of him, for whatever charge, and if it was two violations on a traffic ticket, or if it was three violations, or whatever it was, no matter, I don't care what it was, every single charge was a $500 bail. $500. If you had three charges, $1,500. If you had eight charges, $500 per charge. And then, oh, you can bail out, or you can go back in there and blah, 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 we'll keep you locked up until you pass. But anyway, it boils down to them charge. Say you had four traffic tickets at $500 a bail. That means you got to come up with $200. You got to put something up for collateral to bond yourself out. Then you had to go to court, and you got to make arrangements with the judge to pay the ticket that you got arrested for. Plus, you're going to pay the ticket. You already put up money for the bond. You'll never get that money back out of the bond. I don't care how good you are or how fast you pay it off. You never get that money back from the bonding company. So now you got the money for the bonding company. You got the money that you're going to pay the court. And you're going to pay the court fees and all the other stuff. It's ridiculous, folks. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's a money-making system. And all courts are nothing but a bank, and the judge is the banker, and they're telling you how much this is, and you're going to pay it. And if you don't pay it, you're going to get in trouble. Now, if you got a security agreement, if you got a UCC file, and you got a security agreement, the security agreement will tell you exactly what's coming down and how it's going to be done. And if you understand that you, not you, but your shadow is the debtor. Go outside and stand in the sun, look down the ground, you're going to see your shadow. You cannot take a knife and cut that shadow off and throw it away. That shadow is going to follow you the rest of your life. No matter where you go, that shadow is going to be with you. That shadow, folks, is the straw man. That is the dead entity. That is your birth certificate, your social security number that the government created and put an all capital letter name to it and made a corporation out of. That is what the government is after. Baker, your human body, because they didn't create your human body. God created it. They need that shadow. And your security agreement says that the debtor is a transmitting utility and the debtor is a trust. And that the debtor will take care of all indebtedness from whatever source, from the past, the present, and the future, and he will transfer it to the secured party creditor, because the debtor can't do nothing. The debtor is a shadow. The debtor can't read and write. The debtor can't do anything. So he's going to deem himself insecure, and he's going to give it to the secured party creditor, which is you in the flesh, to you as a creditor, a lion of your jungle, to assume the responsibility and pay the debt. And you say, well, I got no money, I can't pay it. Yeah, that's a crock of bull. You got a signature, and your signature creates money. So you have to learn how to take care of all of your debts. Whenever I get a bill in the mail, I don't care what it is, I file on my UCC-3. Then I make an assignment, and I assign it back to that corporation, whoever sent that bill to me in the mail. I sign it back to them. I make them hold her in due course. And I tell them that here's a Supreme Court decision that says that I cannot pay anything with money because there is no lawful money. The only way I can pay a debt is with a commercial instrument representing credit. And, oh, by God, you created the commercial instrument, and you sent it to me, and I'm going to give it back to you. I'm assigning it back to you. I'm making you hold her due course, and here's my signature. You can go deposit it and get your credit. All about, folks. But if you don't understand the UCC and you don't understand how to do that, you're going to try to pay with FRNs. And you can never, 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 never pay a debt with with FRN because the FRN is a debt instrument. You cannot pay a debt with a debt. So therefore, you can only pay with a commercial instrument representing credit. This is a Supreme Court decision out of 1967. The only way you can pay a debt is with a commercial instrument representing credit. What do you think that bill is that they sent you in the mail? It is a commercial instrument, and it's representing credit because it's got a money amount attached to it. They are demanding that you pay money. If you read the UCC, see that a demand for money is a money order. And if you look at the bill, it's made out to you. It's got an account on it. It's got your name on it. It's got their information on it. It's exactly like a check. The only thing that's missing is your signature. You need to learn how to put your signature on these presentments and send them back. And you need to know how to file them on a UCC. If you fail to file them, then it's just a regular old document. It's worthless. It's a worthless instrument. When they sent it to you, it was worthless because they failed to register it. Now, if they would have registered under UCC before they sent it to you, now you'd be in some big trouble because now they sent you a registered security, and if you didn't take care of it, you're really going to be in big trouble. But because they sent you a worthless security, they can try to cause you trouble, but they really can't because it's a worthless security. But you have to understand how all this stuff works. And you understand it by going into the state statutes and reading the banking code. And when you start out reading the banking code, it sounds like it's all mumble-jumble. And it says, statute so-and-so, it needs to be referred back to this statute, and that needs to be referred to that statute. Just ignore all that stuff. Just read what it says in there, folks, and understand what it's saying. And learn how to take care of yourself. Learn how to take care of these stupid traffic tickets because they are a worthless instrument representing credit. That's all they are. I think it's Title 16 or something like that that even tells you that they are a worthless instrument because they didn't register it. Because they didn't register it, it is worthless. And because it's worthless, you can cancel it out on your UCC or you can assign it back to them, put your signature on it, and zero out the account. But if you don't understand, what can I say? That's why I give classes on Monday night, to try to teach people how to do this stuff. But, oh, we so tied up, I can't go to class because it costs $25. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't afford to go do that because I need to go down and buy me some ice cream at Dairy Queen. I can't pay $25 to go to class and earn something. Then they'll get a traffic ticket. They'll wait till the day before they have to go to court and call me up, want me to help them out. Oh, you must think I'm a genius or something. I'm not a god thing, what do you call it, a magician. I'm not a genius, and I'm not going to get you out of the scrap that you got in, and you had plenty of time to take care of it, and you waited till the last damn minute to call me up and think I'm going to help you out. You got another thing coming. It don't work like that, and I ain't even going to waste my time trying to deal with it. Now, you call me up when you first get the ticket. You tell me, hey, Mr. McDowell, I got this ticket. Can you help me out? I'll be glad to help you out. But if you wait until 2 days or 1 day or 8 hours before you gotta go to court and call me up and think, oh, yeah, ain't going to happen. Oh, yeah, I'll help you. Trust me, I'll help you, but it's going to cost you $1,000. I ain't going to do it for free. I mean, it's just the way it is, folks. It is what it is. If you ain't got time to take care of your business until the last minute, then you deserve what you get. First off, I didn't get you in a position where you got the ticket, so it's not my business to get you out of it. You have to understand that whatever happens, you got to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, they're going to deal with it for you. And if you ain't got the money, they're going to lock your dumb butt up. That's all there is to it. The Bible even tells you that. It tells you if you go to court, you're going to get locked up. Oh, man, I got to go to court. Someone says, I got to go to court. I just got to. Well, why don't you just get the Bible out and read it and see what it says? It says to agree with your adversary on the way to court. In other words, Jesus is telling you, stay the hell out of court, you dumbass, because I went to court and they hung me on the cross. They killed me and hung me on the cross. And if you think you're any better than Jesus Christ and you think you're going to go into court and get out of there without getting waylaid and stuck in jail or them taking everything you got another thing coming. Because I'm telling you, folks, if it was so important for Jesus to put that in the Bible, to agree with your adversary, he did not put in there. The very first word he put was agree. Look up the word agree in the dictionary and see what it says. It doesn't say to argue. It doesn't say I ain't guilty. It says agree. What are you agreeing to? Oh, well, I stopped you doing 65 in a 35 zone. Okay, whatever you said I did it. So what? I'm agreeing. Because I'm agreeing, there is no controversy. If there is no controversy, they got no reason to bring you into court. They got no reason to lock you up. You agree to it. I'm agreeing to it, Mr. Judge. As soon as you can determine what legal lawful money is, I'll be happy to pay you. Until then, all you're going to get is a commercial instrument representing credit. And a commercial instrument is the ticket. It's got an amount of money on it. It's got your name on it. And all you need to do is turn it over on the back and write your signature without recourse to me, UCC-207-308, which reserves all your rights, and give it back to assign it under a UCC-3. When you get it assigned and you get the printout, you send them the printout and send it to them and let them know that they're not dealing with no dummy. You registered it, yeah, because it's registered. Is a legal binding document, and now they either got accepted or they don't accept it. Now, if they issue a warrant for you because you did this process, they issue a warrant for you to just go into the UCC on a 3 and go in the collateral box and terminate the warrant. And then send them a copy back to them and say, look, I terminated your warrant because it's a worthless instrument. And if you don't believe it, take the warrant down and deposit it in your bank account. See what they tell you. They'll be calling you the next morning and telling you, why did you deposit this warrant in this account? Well, it's a demand for money. It makes it a money order. No, it's a warrant. We can't use it. We can't deposit it. So then you tell the bank, oh, well, why don't you just send me that warrant back on a bank letterhead telling me why you refused to deposit that into my account. Now, what we have is a legal, lawful bank doing business under the Secretary of State in the state that you live in, and they're sending you, with the bank letterhead, they're sending you the warrant back, and they're telling you it's worthless. So if it's worthless, why are you paying it? Send it, don't take it down there. Send it registered mail to the clerk of the court. Tell him, look, Secretary of State, who is your boss, by the way, is telling you and telling me that you're issuing worthless instruments. Because it's worthless, I ain't going to pay you. If you need my signature, I'll be happy to give it. But I'm not giving you no money because there is no money. So when you understand how this thing works, folks, you can take care of yourself. Now, if you get in a situation where they pull you over on the side of the road and you have a UCC in place and you inform the officer that you're a secured party creditor and he continues to write you a ticket, he goes back and he gets on his little radio and he comes back and he says, well, you got outstanding a warrant. We're going to have to impound your car. I'm going to take you to jail and blah, blah, blah. Don't argue with the officer. Go on going to jail. Keep your mouth shut. Whatever you do, don't open your mouth and give them information. All you have to do is give them your name, your rank, your serial number, and your date of birth. And that's all you got to give them. You don't have to tell them nothing else. Every time they ask you something, repeat the same thing over and over and over. When they take you down to jail, they're going to book you in. They're going to take your picture. They're going to fingerprint you and all that good stuff. They're going to put you in the lockup. And they're going to keep you there until the judge comes. And then you can either bail out or stay there and serve your time, whatever. But what I'm getting at is, folks, don't argue with these people. Don't give them no opportunity to get mad at you, because it can't hold you forever. And when you get out, you use your UCC and you use your paperwork and you file charges against them for everything that they've done against you. Go get a copy of your UCC filing. Print out your security agreement. Print out your property list. Take a highlight pen and go down there and highlight everything that pertains to what they done, where it says that your private property is your fingerprints and your signature and all that stuff is private property and your picture and all, and highlight all that stuff. And then highlight the part where it's a $1 million fine and they trespassed on your private property. So you can put the amount from zero to $100 million fine for each and every person involved. So when you go into booking, you got the officer that brought you in. That's number one. Then you got the lady in the booking that's booking you in. Then you got the other officer that's fingerprinting you. Now you got three people involved, plus the sheriff and the deputy sheriff. And then whoever transports you down to the lockup. So right now, you're looking at anywhere from 5 to 10 people involved. And it says right in there, each and every person involved. And then you make a list of all the different things that they've done to you while you were in there, and you list all the fines involved in it, and you add it all up, and you send them an invoice, and you bill them, and you file it on your UCC-3. And when they ignore it, you put them in default. And when they ignore the default three times, then you go get a notary to do it. And they ignore it those three times, you've now had your trial by jury, and they didn't respond, so they acquiesced to everything in your document. So now, legally, you have a right to go on the internet and pull up the sheriff, the deputy sheriff, and all these people listed in the thing, and go find all their property and start selling it. And you don't even have to go to their property. You just put it up on eBay, and you start selling it. And when the people pay you, you give them a bill of sale. And it's a done deal. You don't care what happens after that. You got paid. That's how you operate this, folks. You're never going to get any cash money. So don't look like you're going to get rich, because that's not the way the system works. If you have to get to the point where you have to sell these people property, yes, you can make a little cash money, but you're not going to get rich from doing it. It's not about getting rich. It's about making those people understand that, hey, I had a legal binding contract, and you broke the contract, and you didn't pay no attention to what the contract started with a crock of crap. But let me tell you something, folks. There was a lady in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, who was a federal judge, a federal district judge. And we went into her court one morning, and we brought the UCC in. And she said, that stuff is frivolous. It's crock of crap. It don't mean nothing in my court. Just get that stuff out of here right now. So we didn't argue with her. We left. After court was over, she fined us and all that stuff. We left the court. I went back to the house, got on the computer, and I did a search on her oath of office and found out that she got sworn in on such and such day, and found out that under the Secretary of State law, it says that you must file your oath of office within 10 days with the Secretary of State. So we did a little checking around, found out she didn't file her oath of office until the 12th day. So we wrote a letter to the Secretary of State, informed Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State called this little judge up and told the judge, you got two choices. You can either voluntarily retire and keep your retirement, or I can fire your dumb butt. So within 2 days, the woman retired from the office of the judge. So don't tell me that the UCC don't work. It works fantastic if you know how to use it. But if you don't know how to use it, then they're going to step all over you and tell you everything is frivolous, fraudulent, it doesn't mean anything. Well, I had the sheriff try to tell me that my copyright trademark don't mean anything because it didn't have a notary seal on it. I said, well, it's filed with the Secretary of State and we need a notary signature on it because the Secretary of State is the one that issues out all the notary seals. And because it's filed with the Secretary of State, it's automatically assumed that it's notarized. So you can take it for whatever it's worth, but you'll find out just how powerful this copyright trademark is.
That stuff don't mean nothing. Okay, no problem.
Oh, you think it don't mean anything, that's good for you. But I'm telling you what I know. So get ready. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to hang them out to dry. But they don't know, and they're going to find out that this stuff ain't as frivolous as they pretend it is. They don't want to pay no attention to anybody that's got a UCC file. They think it's a crock of crap. But you have to understand, folks, as an individual that has filed a UCC, you are the preferred perfected lien holder. You have a claim of right. They don't have one. And judges are always telling you in court that if you come into court and you don't have a claim or relief can be granted, I can't grant you any. What do you think a UCC-1 is? It is a claim in international commerce contract that gives you a claim of right over everybody else. So now you have a claim of right where relief can be granted. But if you don't understand this and you don't know how to talk to these judges, you're going to be in a world of trouble. First of all, you got to go in there with attitude if you're going to court. And I stress with my whole being, stay out of court. But everybody wants to go to court. So if you want to go to court, you have to learn how to take care of yourself in court. You have to be a creditor. You have to be a secured party. You have to be a king or a queen. And you got to let them know from jump that, hey, I'm a child of God. God created me. And all you got control over is that shadow. You did not create me. You created the shadow. You can do whatever you want to that shadow, but you cannot do nothing to me. And you got to know your Bible, and you got to be able to quote them verses to them, because I'm telling you, all them judges are scared of the Bible, every last one of them. If you know the Bible and you know how to quote it, you can just almost walk out every time of winter. But if you don't know it, you get in there and you start stammering and talk about, they're going to stick it to you. Because they know you're scared. They know you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm going to take a short little break here and grab me a drink of water. And when I come back, I'm going to open up the phone line. So if anybody got any questions, now's the time to call in and get on the board. All you have to do is dial, I think, 1 pound. Hit 1, hit the pound, and you'll show up on the board, and I'll let you in. So let me take a short little break and be right back, folks. Let me see if I can find something here. Well, I'm back, folks. I don't know how to turn this thing off, but I'm back. Anybody want to call in? Now is your opportunity to call in, and we will try to answer your questions, because this show is about interacting with the people that call in. If you got questions, now is the time. So I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 people on the board, but maybe everybody's calling in on their phone and they're at work or something. I don't know, but ain't nobody calling in to the show, so I guess nobody's got any questions they want to ask. I don't know how to turn this thing off, folks. I don't even know if you can hear it. Anyway, I'm trying to get it turned off. Okay. Then there ain't nobody calling in. I'm going to try to come up with something here. Until we get somebody that wants to call in, I may just try to read this little thing here. I hate reading because to me, to listen to somebody read is boring, but if you got the right person reading, it ain't so boring. It says that if you get an indictment under, this is called an acceptance of honor, which involves a negotiable instrument, especially a bill of exchange. Indictment, a bill of exchange is an indictment that has been accepted for payment. The complaint information or indictment is a three-party draft. It's a commercial paper, a bill of exchange under Article 3 of the UCC. The grand jury foreman is the drawer or maker of the indictment. By his signature, the defendant, debtor, or straw man is the drawee, and the state is the payee, and the live man or woman is the payer. Oh my goodness. You just understand what I said. Under Article 3 of the UCC, the grand jury foreman is the drawee or maker of the indictment, which is the complaint against you. Traffic ticket, a warrant, whatever. By his signature, the defendant debtor or straw man, which is you, your shadow, not you, the human, but the defendant debtor. Always remember, the defendant is the debtor. He is the shadow. He is the drawee. Now, they made an indictment, and they're drawing down on you. How are they drawing down on you? They're using your Social Security number and your Federal Reserve Bank, and they've created a bond. And they are drawing the money from your account, and they're doing it on your name as the defendant. And the state is the payee. So, they have made a complaint. They made it out in your name. They made it out under your Social Security number off of your Federal Reserve Bank, and they're making it payable to the state. And the live man or woman is the payor. Drag you into court. They ask you, are you guilty or not guilty? And you have to understand what these words mean in court. What they're saying to you, and you don't understand because you understand the court system, they're saying, we got a check here, and we need your signature on the check. Are you guilty or not guilty? Are you going to sign the check, or are you not going to sign the check? And if you say that you are a creditor, you will sign your name to the check, and the state can get their money. If you say I'm not guilty, then you just said you're a debtor, And what is defendant, debtor, or straw man? The defender, debtor, shadow, just said that he refuses to sign the check. Oh, my God. Because you refuse to sign the check, the judge looked over to the bearer. He says, lock him up, and he will not come forth until the utmost farthing is paid on this check. And if this check is for $5,000, your butts are going to sit in jail until you have worked off this $5,000. If that takes six years, they don't care because you refuse to sign the check. You refuse to sign the indictment. That's what it boils down to. What are they doing in the courtroom is all commercial and is in conformity to 27 CFR 7211, where it says all crimes are commercial. What the judge and prosecutor are doing in the courtroom is making a commercial presentment under Section 3501 of the Uniform Commerce Code, and let's excuse Section 3511, presentment is necessary to charge secondary party as follows. A, presentment for acceptance is necessary to charge the drawer or endorser of a draft where the draft so provides or is payable elsewhere than the resident or place of business of the drawee, or its date of payment depends upon such presentment. The holder may, at his option, present for acceptance any other draft payable at the stated date. Presentment of payment is necessary to charge an endorsement, to change an endorsement. In the case of a drawer, the acceptor of the draft payable at a bank, the court is a bank, payable at the court, or the maker of the note payable at a bank. Presentment of payment is necessary, but failure to make the presentment discharges such drawer, acceptor, or maker only as stated in Section 35021B. If you don't accept the charge or presentment, you are in dishonor for no acceptance under 3505 of the UCC, parentheses C, and 3501, 2, A, and B. Acceptance is drawer signed engagement. Honor the draft as presented. It must be written on the draft and may consist of his signature alone. It becomes opportunity when completed by delivering or notification under 3410 of the UCC. Acceptance is the drawer's signed engagement to honor the draft as presented. When they present you with a ticket or a warrant or a summons or a bill in the mail, you must accept it. And it says that you have to sign it to be an honor. You got to give them your signature. When you fail to give your signature, you are in dishonor. And when you become in dishonor, you automatically become guilty and you are going to get locked up. You are the fiduciary trustee
of the straw man or the shadow. You are the trustee, okay? You are the one that must put your signature because the straw man can't give up his signature because he can't write, he can't do nothing. He's not human. He's just a fiction of the imagination, which is a, I don't know what that word is, United States Trust. In this capacity, you have the responsibility to discharge all debts by operation of law. You are also the principal or asset holder on the private side of the accounting ledger. You are holding the exemption necessary to discharge the debt. Your exemption is your signature, folks. Signature is everything. Without your signature, there's no exemption. There is no way for those people to get their credit. Without their credit, they're going to keep coming after you until you learn how to give up your credit. When they monetize debt, they have to have a principal, capital, and interest in what the circumstances as principal and is called revenue or re-rev. Principal is where revenue lies. Revenue is a tax debt or a tax bill. All bills, when presented, represent revenue, interest, capital, or actual circulating forms. You as the principal, when it is returned back to you as capital or interest, it is called income or incoming. This method of accounting is called the actual accounting method and is represented by debits and credits. Debits are asset, credits are liabilities. The credits and liabilities have to be in balance. This is accomplished through double bookkeeping entries of revenue bookkeeping entries. These bookkeeping entries are the funds referred to in the commercial banking. When you are in dishonor, they cannot use your exemption to pass the debt or charge through your account to obtain a discharge. So they sell your dishonor, which has a commercial value of $100 million for each count. Did you catch that? They sell your dishonor, and each count, each charge that you have is $100 million. Security number is assigned to the blank bond. It is issued, and when you are in prison, the bond is filled out. This bond is called a bid bond, standard form 24, RV-1098, prescribed by GSA form 48, CFR 53.288A. This is a bid bond. When they ask you for your signature and you refuse to give it, you are in dishonor. They cannot use your exemption to pass the debt or discharge it through your account. Remember, I told you they assign your Social Security number, and that number on the back of your Social Security card is the Federal Reserve Bank, and the account number that's associated with that Federal Reserve under your straw man's name, and they are trying to discharge a debt through that account, but they need your signature, and if you fail to give your signature, then you are in dishonor. They are going to sell your dishonor for $100,000, and they are going to sell each count for $100,000, and they're going to make a bid bond, and they're going to serialize it, and they're going to sell it on the open market to a third party. And when that third party gets it, they are going to turn around and they're going to sell it. And each time they sell it, the price goes up. And each time the price goes up, your stay in prison gets a little bit longer. And you will stay there until the utmost filing is paid.
As what Jesus said, you will stay to the utmost while it is paid. And see, they take these bonds on April 9, 2002 at 12:18 p.m. Lehman Brothers Banking Cartel of New York City agreed to provide prison industrial lenders, CCA, Correctional Corporation of America, with a new $695 million senior secured credit facility to be combined with $150 million note offering. The war on terrorism has created a buzz in the private prison industry. Less than 3 weeks after September 11th, the New York Post story on the for-profit private prison industry started. And, folks, we got private prisons all over the United States of America. And they putting you in there for profit. Every single solitary day you stay in jail, they make $365 a day. If you go in jail on a $2,000 bond, you divide $365 into the $2,000 bond, and you'll find out how many days you have to stay in jail. And they just may not let you out of jail anyway when it comes time, because they do what they call a prison count. They come around to the dorm every single morning and every single night, and they do a prisoner count. There's a reason for that prisoner count, folks. They turn that account in. They turn that count in, and if it says dorm 3 got 24 prisoners, dorm 2 has 35 prisoners, dorm 4 has 84 prisoners. They add all that up, and it's got to jive with what's on the book. And then you find, and that's how much money the local jail or the county sheriff or wherever it is gets per day to house these prisoners. Now, if you got a county jail that holds 280 prisoners and they got it full, that's 280 times $365 that facility, that county facility, gets per day for housing these prisoners. Why do you think they keep the county jails and the city jails full? Because they're making money. It's all about the money, folks. They need money to operate the county. They can't get the money if they don't keep somebody locked up. So they got to lock up somebody in order to make the money. And they don't care who they lock up. 80-year-old women, 90-year-old men, even 100-year-old, they do not care. They don't care if you're in a wheelchair. They don't care if you're on medication. They could care less. All they're interested in is money. They don't care how they get the money as long as they get the money. They can't get the money if they don't lock you up because you're too stupid, too ignorant to give them your signature. So they're going to lock you up. And then they're going to get their money. So, you need to go on the internet and you need to type in prisoner bond thesis. And you need to pull that thing up. It's a 23-page document written by none other than a sheriff, I think his name was, it was written by Gene Keady, October 2004, and it's a thesis on prison and how they operate through the bond system. And it will tell you exactly what's going on and how they steal money from everybody. And they steal it by putting you in jail, and they get it. It's all over America. It's not just in the town you live in. It is everywhere. The international revenue are around 42% for juveniles. and 40% for pre-lease revenue are around 18%. And all this money passes through, listen to this, these factories represent the outsourcing phase of the prison system. This company is currently operated in 5 different time zones and is headquartered at 17 West Loop South, 1500, Houston, Texas. Oh, my goodness. Right here in Houston, Texas is where they pass all this money through the bank. I'm quite sure that's the Federal Reserve Bank because there's one located in Houston, Texas, and that's where they pass all these bonds. And these people are making money hand over foot. And why would they want to stop locking people up? Because they are making grand theft money off of everybody that they lock up. So you need to do a little research, and you need to find out what's going on. So I see somebody finally called in, so I'm going to open up the phone line to area code 216, last 4-7-8-4-6. You're live. Well, maybe you're live. Give it a minute. It'll pull you up. I was wrong with his computer today. It's slower than all get out. It'll pop you up here pretty soon. I don't know when, but I'll let you know when it pops you up. But anyway, folks, I'm just telling you, you need to go get this document. You can pull it up off the internet. It's called Theses on the Use of Prison Bonds, and written by Gene Keating, I believe it is. Yeah, written by Gene Keating on October 10th, 2004. Well, I don't know why it's not opening up your mic. I'm having trouble with this doggone thing today. It took me 10 minutes to get in this morning, and I had to call in 3 different times. So I don't know what's happening with the thing. I got it on. It's turning around. It's saying it's trying to connect, but it's not opening up your mic. So let me see if I can try it again. I'm going to have to call Blog Talk and find out what's going on. They charging me every time I get on the air. They charging me for it. And then the doggone thing doesn't work worth 2 cents. I'm going to have to call them and tell them I want a refund on my money, or they're going to have to make this thing work like it's supposed to work. Not right. If people call in, they should be able to talk. And usually they do. I don't know what's going on with this thing today. It's going round and round and round and round and won't open up the microphone. I'll give it a couple minutes and see what happens. Thing in the court system and stuff is being run under the Law Merchants UCC 1-103, Section 775.04 of Title 17, Corporation Partnerships of the Ohio Reserve Code says, rules of law and equity, including the Law Merchants, to govern UCC 1-103, is quoted in the administrative manual of the Internal Revenue Service put out by CCH. Let's see, Internal Revenue Code, based on the above information, it looks like the GSA and the GAO are heavily involved in the accounting aspect of the prison system, which explains why they are supplying all the bond forms respecting a bid when you dishonor is sold. Within the United States, it has 6-digit numbers and is called a cartel number. When it is sold at the international level, it goes to ordnance or military and used a 9-digit accounting number. This is where the AUTO TRIS is and the GUSIP number comes in. Auto TRS is the automated foreign trance investment system and was designed in the Russian Federal Central for sale system using graphic toolkits, which was designed at Automation Designs and Solutions Products. This program is used as a jail management system for inmate tracking. This system is also known as a law enforcement module and court management modules for courtroom accounting. Every municipality police department of federal police have this system installed in their vehicles and is referred to as the criminal justice tracking system. That's how they can go in their car and put that. Why they always ask you what your name is. They always want to see your driver's license so they can go back and jump on their computer and run your name through it and see if they got you in the system. That's why they want your name. If you don't have a driver's license, it's hard for them to run you through the system because they all go by driver's license. I'm sorry, number, area code 216, last 47846. I'm sorry, this is just not opening up your mic today. I don't know what's going on, and I can't even stop it. I try to turn it off, and it won't even do that. So maybe I'll get it straightened out by next week and we'll get it taken care of. But right now, it's not letting me get any callers in here for some reason. It won't even let me turn the mic back off. Got something to do with the Internet, I can tell you that. But I don't know what, but it's got something to do with the Internet. Okay, back to this prison bond thing. See where I was at. I don't even remember where I was at. One of the biggest prison bond security companies is located in South Africa. And they are the biggest people buyers of the securities on the bonds. They're located in Africa. And they buy these things internationally. And then they trade them and sell them to other people. It's all about big money, folks. Everything is about money. Everything boils down to money. And everything you do in court boils down to money. The insurance companies are the weak link. They have a true liability. They also buy SC and fiduciary law must disclose in their annual financing report any lien, encumbrance, claim, or judgment giving the dollar amount liability and a short description clear of compensation of the liability. They also are holding trillions of dollars of real investment assets, real estate, and property of which are subject to pertain attachments by claim. They truly are the weakest link. And that's why we need to go down to the county where we live. We need to find out who the underwriter insurance company or the risk management company is. Because the insurance company that underwrites the risk management is the one who holds the bond on all the people that are bonded in the county. And if you want to get paid for some wrong done to you, you have to go after the bond because they have to put up cash money to get that bond. And they tell you, oh, well, the judge doesn't have to be bonded because we're covered under a blanket bond. I jumped through the hoop. Holy cow, thank you, Jesus. What do you mean? Well, thank you, Jesus, that they are covered under a blanket bond because now I can shut down the whole damn county by filing enough complaints against that insurance company, they are never, never going to file a or collect money off a bond for one complaint. Trust me, they won't do it. But you go out here and make your complaint piece of it, and just walk around down the street and say, hey, would you mind sending this in? And even if you have to go to where a bunch of drunks are and say, hey, I'll buy you some wine, you send this in, put your name and address on, send it in. If you get 100 complaints going in there, that insurance company is going to pull that bond so fast it ain't funny. They pull the bond, the whole county shuts down. When the county shuts down, nobody can't operate. And that's what we want. If they are a blanket bond, we want to close down everybody. Just shut them all down. You don't care. I got number, area code 212-833-0. You're on the line, live.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing, Dave. I guess.
All right, that's what's up. You was talking about forfeited items. We was talking about when the cops come, the policy enforcers, and they want to take all your stuff. They have a thing out called Agenda 21 where they're doing this right now. And they probably been doing this where they're seizing people's property for no reason because they think they have the right to take it lawfully, but it's unlawfully what they're doing because they're like the movie, the big gangs of New York. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
That's what's happening out here. Got a bunch of gangsters running it. So what happened if these other gangs catch on that these gangs ain't nothing but a gang, these old policy enforcers running around here and running a smuck. And all these other gangs, the Mexicans and the Bloods and the Crips out here and all these other gangs was to catch on. What do you think going to happen then?
Oh, man, there's going to be some people get shot.
It's going to be like a bloodbath out here, huh? We don't want that to happen because we civilized, but we want to know how can we hit them where it hurts. And these cops, most of the time, are hiding behind these bonds, and they don't want to give up that full bond number on their damn badge. They look at you when you ask for I need your name and badge number. They only give you some don't even want it. They try to shield it, hide it, run, and don't even try to do it and joke with you. They'll try to even lock you up, even when you're trying to get the information, and they'll tell you can't film us when you know you can film them. They got all these little crackpot excuses, and they want to be coercive and antagonizing you, you know? And you know you're right when you're telling them in a nice, civilized manner. I need your name and your badge number. Hmm? What do you think?
Yeah, well, they don't want to give it to you. Don't worry about it. Just get all the information you can. Get their squad car and call the police. Find out who was on duty at that time. You can get the information. You may not get it
now,
from them, but you can get
would
it.
Would you suggest that when somebody get arrested, which is false arrest by these policy enforcers, and they haven't committed any crime because there's no injured party, do you think when they do the coercion and the forcing of you to get fingerprinted and all that stuff, you need to sue not only them, but you need to sue the FBI, because I heard the FBI is the one who finances all the fingerprinting machines out here that they give to the precinct.
What I would recommend is getting a copyright trademark filed on the UCC, and then the copyright trademark put in there that any use of your picture, your fingerprints, your DNA, all that stuff is private property, and it's going to cause
you. And
your
property, like identification, that they steal from you too, right?
Yeah, it's going to cost $1 million for each fingerprint, each picture. And most of the time when you go to jail, they're going to take at least 8 to 10 pictures. They're going to take your fingerprints, and they're even going to stick you with a needle, and they're going to do all these different things. And that's all violation of your private property. So if you got a copyright.
So you really, if you understand law, you actually walking out of there rich. You're a rich man.
That's right. You got to keep your mouth shut. And
don't
argue with them people while you're in there. And then when you get out, then you take all your paperwork and you file it. and you file it under UCC, you get a printout, and then you send it to the sheriff, to the deputy sheriff, to everybody involved, down to the police officer, drug the end. And every
All right, now what I need
them,
to know from you, are you, do you have something on your site that shows a person geared towards the one to make a suing against these people, a template that gives you an outline example on how it looks and how to go forward with it?
That does what now?
Do you have an example template on your site that people can purchase from you to give them an example on how a suing document looks like when you go forth to put it forth and have it work? Have you ever sued anybody yet?
I ain't got no suing documents because I don't try to sue them. What I do, I file a complaint against them, and I send them the document, and I tell them, look, under my UCC law, here is the fine that occurred for you taking me to jail. Here is the fine that occurred for you taking my fingerprints. Here is a fine you incurred for taking my picture. And you invoice them. And you invoice
right,
them
with
everything.
A shuttle fee, right?
Now, wait. Well, listen to me. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You invoice them. You invoice each and every individual that was involved.
Mm-hmm.
The person that drug you in, the person behind the counter that took your information, the person that fingerprinted you, the sheriff, the deputy sheriff, you send an invoice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to ignore it because they think it's a crock of crap. Once they ignore it, they, under UCC law, they defaulted on a legal binding contract.
Mm-hmm.
What did I just read earlier about you being in dishonor? When you go into dishonor, what happens? They sell your dishonor on the market for $100,000. They sell it to a third party. And then that third party sells it to somebody else. And it just keeps going and making money and making money. Well, you can do that if you know how, but if you don't know how to do it, then you're going to put them in default because they failed to honor your invoice that you sent them. So now you have to do 3 defaults on them. Then you have to let the notary do 3 defaults on them. This is called a commercial process. You have done the 6 defaults, and they failed to respond or failed to pay you or anything. You can now file involuntary bankruptcy under UCC law, file involuntary bankruptcy on them because they, not you, they put themselves in involuntary bankruptcy, and you can legally sell everything they got until you collect your money.
Hmm. That was wonderful, then. I like that, how you say it. Hmm.
And basically, if you got a correct security agreement filed, it will tell you right in the security agreement how you go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is great. And they will never mess with you after that, right?
Well, I imagine when you start selling their stuff off, I imagine that they'll hurry up and try to come to you and make a settlement so that you won't sell everything else they got. Because, see, they think that you're full of crap. But once they understand and they see that you're actually selling their merchandise out from underneath them, they'll hurry up and come to you and try to settle with you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is it good to take this to the
federal court or do it in the state court? Because the state acts like they just brush everything off.
Listen, you don't even freaking go to the court with it. You invoice the people. And when they default on the invoice, your judge is the notary and the Secretary of State is the Supreme Court judge. It's all done through the UCC. You don't go to court. Screw the court.
Oh, okay.
Court ain't got nothing to do with you.
Oh, okay.
Ain't got nothing to do with you.
And then,
so you're saying it's not good to go about it under human rights, international laws. That's not even good no more these days, you're saying. They don't honor that.
Right.
The Constitution, common law. It's tricky.
Say I had $5 million worth of debt to the county sheriff. Know that sucker ain't got $5 million, right? So I put up his house, his car, and everything for sale. And I tell his house out from underneath it. Then he's going to come to me and he say, hey, man, what you doing? I say, okay. I tell you what I do. To save you embarrassment and to save me from taking everything else you got, I'll cancel this whole thing out. If you volunteer to quit as being the sheriff of this county and never take another government job that you live, I'll cancel this whole thing out. And put a public notice in
giving them an ultimatum,
put a public notice in the county paper that you retract everything that was done to my person, get it off the record, get it out of the federal records, get my name clear from everything, and then you resign as sheriff. I'll drop the charge. Otherwise, I'm going to take everything you got.
Okay. Now, do you have any of that you just said? Do you have that as, like, in writing that you could follow step by step on your site?
Oh, well, look at, man, what's so hard? You go on the internet and you pull up an invoice. And you just make an invoice. There's thousands of invoices out there. Make an invoice up for anything
you
want.
Oh,
you
just say make yours up out of nothing. Just create one. Just create your own invoice. That's right.
Create your own invoice. Okay.
Okay.
Say my invoice is for false arrest, $2 million. My invoice is for fingerprinting my fingers. I got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. So I'm going to charge you $1,000 for each one. And then you took my mugshot 10 times. So that's $500,000 for each mugshot times 10. And you just put down there on the invoice, you got to describe what it is and how much money it is. You put down $500,000 for one mugshot, and then you put over there quantity, 10 mugshots, and then you put over there total, and you put the money. And then you do that for everything. And down at the very bottom, when you get a total figure, you always got to add 8% for taxes. You can't forget the taxes.
Right.
Always put the
and
taxes
I want it in lawful
there.
Money, too. I want it in gold and silver, right? That's chump stuff.
That's exactly right. You put
I don't want
there.
It in that fake debt notes fiat. That ain't worth crap.
I got on my copyright trademark that the only payment I will take is Morgan silver dollars or Canadian gold, Canadian silver dollars or can gold cougar rands. I don't accept nothing else.
So I already have one of those documents, so I could just really have a processor server serve them at their precinct, right? And just hand it to them.
That's right.
My invoice,
exactly
right? Or
right.
I could send it through the mail to their precinct, right? And let them deal with
That's
it.
That's right. Let them deal with it, and they're going to ignore it. And when they ignore it, then they dishonored it. And because they dishonored
mm-hmm.
it, and it's a commercial instrument, they dishonored
mm-hmm.
it under the CC law, so now they go into involuntary bankruptcy.
And you're saying that if you already did this in advance, I already did this. I put the sheriffs on notice all around in each state and in D.C. I put them on notice. I said, if anything happens to such and such, anything is touched or, you know, violated anything, you was put on notice of this person's name. If it comes up, you're going to be held accountable for it. So it's like it's been laying in wait. So I could just go forth and sue the crap out of them.
Exactly right.
Because they never responded back, even though I put them on notice.
No, you don't really file a suit in court. You just do an invoice and take care of it to yourself between a notary and the Secretary of State. You don't have to go to court and sue somebody. You do it through an invoice.
A notary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a notary is like actually a judge.
That's exactly right.
But what's that word you said you have to tell the notary so they know that you want them to send it off for you? Because if you don't tell them the right verbiage, they're going to look at you like, what do you mean?
you know,
you
try
take
to get
it
some
down to the notary, and you already have all your paperwork made out. It's called a notary presentment. You already have everything made out. All the notary has to do is stamp their stamp on it and put their signature on it. And watch you put it in an envelope and mail it out with their address on it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That way the notary ain't going to say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, look, I already did for you. All I need is your return address and your stamp. All you got to do is do that and charge me for it. It'll come back to you.
So I get some with their letterhead on the envelope, you're saying. They stamp on the envelope, right?
No, they put their stamp on the paperwork, not on the envelope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He said mail it with their address. He said mail it off from their location?
Yeah. You have to take it down there with an envelope, already everything made out. When you get there, you put the address of the notary's address on the envelope, and the notary watches you take the documents that she stamped and stick them in the envelope, and you
That's
close
right.
it up right there in front of her,
mm-hmm.
and then you can either put it in the mail or let her drop it in the mail, whoever,
mm-hmm.
man or woman, no mail. But you're showing
right.
them that this is what it is.
Physical witness, or he's a physical witness.
Yeah.
And how many days it take, how many days did you give them in order for them to answer you the most? 3, 5, or you could pick whatever you want, 10?
You give them 72 hours like they give you, or you can give them 5, 10 days. It depends upon what you want. But 72 hours is all that's actually required.
Right. Same way when they lock you up, they put you in there in the pen and they do you 72 hours and they let you loose.
Right.
Right. That sounds good then. 72 hours, that's not bad. You can reverse it on them now.
Right. See, I hate to cut you short, but I got 15 minutes left on the show and I'm going to cut the show short today because I got a repairman that showed up to do some work, and I need to be out there with him. So I want you to just stress
about what you was talking about, the prison system. That's very informative that they're doing this Agenda 21, and he's forfeit of your valuables. They're trying to take them and get away with it.
Yeah.
Most people don't want to go back in because they get afraid. They don't know what to do. They misguided. They don't have the knowledge, you know. It's good that you're talking on that because people don't think that stuff is serious. They think they all caught up with that same mindset. Oh, they're supposed to take my goods. They're supposed to take my property because they're the law, which they're not. Nothing but a bunch of gangsters running a smuck. Huh?
Anyway, I got to run, but I hate to cut you short,
okay.
But I got to run.
Good talking to you.
I appreciate
you calling
in. You have a
wonderful remaining day, okay, Dave?
Yeah, appreciate you calling in. I appreciate all the listeners today, and I am going to hold class tonight. If anybody wants to come to class, just go on the website, make your little gift, and we'll have class tonight. I'll send you out the information. Otherwise, there won't be no class and nobody shows up. But anyway, for all you that are listening and you do want to go to class tonight, remember 7 to 9. And go to keepdayfree.net and make your gift, and I'll get it, and I'll let you know when class is. I want to thank everybody for coming out today, and I appreciate all the callers. Appreciate you. If you wasn't listening, I wouldn't have a show. Thank y'all very much, and we'll catch y'all next week.